Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our lunch talk. My name is Enid Cho, Correspondent Governor of the FCC. May I remind everyone to switch off any device that makes beeps and rings and other annoying noises. And also, may I remind everyone to look at our website for the lineup of our next events. The next lunch talk is on May 6th by Christopher New of Hong Kong University. The title of his talk is Prostitution and Prejudice, Hong Kong's Colonial Demi-Monde. Sounds fascinating. Without further ado, let me introduce our speaker for today, Wendy Yeo. I've just been to see her exhibition, and it's fascinating. I mean, I was struck by the range in style and also materials. Wendy was born in Hong Kong and is the granddaughter of Sir Robert Ho Tung, and she was accepted by the Slade School of Art in London at a very young age. And from then on, she has become one of few artists of Chinese descent to have made it into the top tier of the British art establishment. And this is her first visit back in Hong Kong for quite a few years, but she brings with her exhibition Inspired by Travel, which is on at the moment at The Space in Hollywood Road. Wendy, welcome to the club, and you will now tell us why Hong Kong artists often struggle to flourish in our city.
Well, hello everyone. It's really lovely to be back in Hong Kong. After 21 years, I haven't been back, so it's like coming home. And I was really struck by everything in Hong Kong, quite breathtaking, with all the new buildings and, you know, everything seems to be like a new city to me. But on the other hand, I still feel that it's home. And the main thing is I can feel the vibrant of the whole place. The whole thing has a lot of energy. So I think I wouldn't talk too long because I want a bit of discussion if possible. So I'll go straight into the fact of the whole talk about can art survive in Hong Kong? Well, I think one has to be on the positive side, but I do want to mention about the curriculum in schools that it seems to be very much at the bottom of the list. Everyone, you know, parents want to say that they want their children to have a proper profession, and that's being a lawyer, doctor, banker, anything that would create a lot of money. But I think that if we look into art, there should be some education about the art in schools. I know in the junior school they have lots of wonderful things happening, and young children are always very creative in whatever they do. They have, you know, inspired with brilliant colours, and they have a natural way of creating design. But then when they get to about 11, they sort of get self-conscious and they get to look at realism, and then usually they don't do much art. But I think it would be really good if there could be a small slot in the curriculum with art, like PE, which is good for the body and, you know, exercise and so on. But with art, I think it would be exercise for creativity in the mind and to make people relax, and it could really do well for other professions and to have a broader education, you know, because even if you don't say everyone is talented in painting, there should be some education in the history or the appreciation so that it would inspire people to relate to the outside world and to create and be more stimulated for their other work or to paint or to do sculpture and make more mark in the environment. So I think that is one of the points where perhaps there should be some thought about the curriculum in schools, because it is an option for doing art for IGCSE or the exams, but you have to do it after school. And I think generally everyone should have some idea of the history, the appreciation and painting for those who are talented. So that is what I feel about the actual education, but also because, you know, it's always at the bottom of the list, and they think, well, art doesn't make any money, which is true. So why don't we try to make it possible for artists to have more money? And in that way, I think perhaps the government should perhaps have more art schools and spaces for artists that, when they graduate from art schools, to be able to have studios. Perhaps some of the unused factories could have space for such things to happen. And also, because it's such a booming financial place like Hong Kong, perhaps some of the companies could sponsor scholarships, exhibition space. And also, what I think is important is that artists need to see real, original work. And it's a far distance to go to Paris or New York or Chicago to see these famous paintings. So I think perhaps some money could be spent on creating a possibility of traveling exhibitions, like in Paris, Chicago, they have great exhibitions like Manet or Monet exhibitions. Why can't Hong Kong have such an opportunity to have museums that could house such exhibitions? And that in itself would make people more aware of art and the artists to get stimulated by other people's work. So I think that is one thing, and also for artists to have possibility of work. And again, like in Holland, they're very good to artists because they employ them in the government to work and they have a salary. But artists always have a really hard time because they're always poor, and so no one wants to be an artist. But it doesn't need to be like that. If there's more appreciation and people would buy originals rather than just prints of famous sort of Turners or Constables or Renaissance art, why not help the artists to buy good originals? Like a lot of the Scandinavian countries or France, they actually buy sponsoring by buying, you know, work from budding artists. It would make it possible to for them to have a proper life without, you know, saying, oh, well, art is no good, you know, it's just a hobby and so on. Because it is art is really important because it really is very stimulating for everybody, for creativity, as I say, not just for artists, but in financial dealings with being a lawyer or a doctor, it could sort of stimulate more ideas and in research. It sort of frees the mind, and you're in a different life when you're painting. You focus on something apart from your direct work. And like I did teach quite a lot of retired people, and they get such pleasure from doing something that they haven't done. And I think every one of you are artists deep down. So I think that in that sense, it's extremely important. And I know that in Hong Kong, I realize that the performing arts are very much in the foreground and they do very well. And also visual arts, they've got a good museum. But I think they could do more, perhaps have more museums, and visual arts need to be boosted up more so that rich financial companies could give artists commissions and have sponsorships, prizes, so that, you know, everyone would be eager to look at these good artists that are coming up in the world. Because, you know, it's sort of having art around you, and it would inspire more and more ordinary people to appreciate, and it's a chicken and egg thing where it would flourish. So apart from all that about having traveling exhibitions here, but also to have scholarships for artists to go abroad, you know, sponsorships for artists to go abroad, and then bringing back new ideas. And I think, lastly, Hong Kong is a unique place. It's had years and decades of European influence, and it's a gateway to China with all the mega long-standing, wonderful old master traditions and art. And so it could be a real legacy in the world of a special place, Hong Kong, being the influence of the two things together. You know, the European, the Eastern influence, and I can't see anywhere else that could have that wonderful, unique position. So I think that we should really consider art as extremely important in every way. And at the end of the day, I mean, the point is that it is so great internationally with finance, and they're sort of mega wonderful, and I love the modern architecture, and it's doing so well financially. So I think they should help the arts to make it really somewhere to go, not just for the money and finance of banking. I mean, I've seen roads with about 20 banks and so on. But to have art as well, it would be absolutely fantastic. So looking at the positive side, it's not just that can art survive, I hope that it will flourish, because in the world, in civilization, money and other material goods could sort of, you know, like good dining, like the Romans, you know, and so on. It's only the art that actually survives, like the Colosseum, the Forum, and like the pyramids in Egypt. So in civilization, it's only the art that actually survives. And let's hope that Hong Kong would end up with the very unique thing of mixing the East with the West, because it's a prime spot for it. So let's look on the positive side. It will flourish. Thank you. And I hope that we can discuss it, because I don't want to go on talking, and it would be lovely if people can say what they feel about the art, the visual art, because I know that they've done a lot, but I think they can go in even further to make it very, very successful in Hong Kong. And I'd like to hear your ideas about it.
Let me kick off, perhaps. I think, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, a lot has been done in Hong Kong. On the commercial side, perhaps. I mean, I was away from 2006 to 2009, and when I came back, the whole landscape of the art market has completely changed. You know, Sotheby's and Christie's both have some permanent galleries in Hong Kong now, and also the number of commercial galleries has mushroomed. But you're right. I mean, I think there's definitely more to be done in terms of the education and with young people's habit of appreciating, being involved in art. Let me ask you. I mean, I was looking at your new works in this space, and a lot of them are very reminiscent of your roots in Hong Kong. You have abstract pictures of your representing your memory of Hong Kong.
Yes.
And and also a lot of paintings are inspired by your travels. I'm just wondering, you're now based in London and in Wales, in a very beautiful part of Wales. And when you come to Hong Kong, do you think that local artists may struggle for inspiration in Hong Kong? Because of the lack of space, and also because of the lack of heritage around them physically.
Yes, well, I think really, if you look around, it's a really beautiful place with mountains and the sea and the islands. And it's only that, obviously, there are loads of new architecture, but even the architecture is brilliant. I mean, I'm really staggered by central Hong Kong with mega beautifully designed contemporary architecture with wonderful materials. And I always tell people in England, why go to Hong Kong and you have these fantastic buildings. And I think that in a sense it's quite lucky now, because also without going too far you can actually get into parts of China, Macau, you know, the islands and the mountains and the sea. In many ways it's better than being in London for environment. The only thing is the space of painting, and that's when I was mentioning earlier that artists do need space for actually executing their work. And I think that one should look more into these perhaps disused or renovated factories, where they might have some space that are not so expensive, that are a bit further out. But then on the other hand, it's not that far. I mean, in London, you have to go to the East End, you know, it takes about an hour from one end to the other. I mean, it's nothing on the MTR, MRT, MRT.
Singapore.
Yeah. So I think that one should be probably more aware of it. Perhaps people are not aware that artists do need some space to work. And you could start with groups of people, you know, not saying that one artist should have a big place, but in London they have studio spaces. And it's quite good because young artists meet each other. Mm. They sort of
like a jockey club.
Yes, and they kind of exchange ideas, and some people like to work together. Mm. With me, I tended to be more of a solitary worker, but it's my choice for peace. But a lot of people like to have a
That's
group.
Why you're out in Pembrokeshire.
Yes, it's very quiet and you can really focus on it.
Mm-hmm. Questions from the floor? Who has the mic?
Private sector. Oh, sorry. Thanks. I think in the private sector, I think people are really trying to create communities. Of course, the crippling factor in Hong Kong, as everybody knows, is the rent. So that's why people can't afford to have street level galleries, and Hollywood Road's becoming, you know, more and more bars as galleries are sort of forced further out. So that's why Shung Wan, etc., and Chai Wan more recently are becoming more appealing to artists. But I think the concept of how far Chai Wan and Kennedy Town are from people who are busy in Central, I think this is what blocks them from going to. So I think it would be great if the government could get behind the publicity and marketing and create help to create through some financial security art communities in places like Chai Wan, where the rent is a lot lower. I've spoken to the HKTB. I don't think that they support the arts community at all, in terms of if you go to Singapore, there's a big event on, you have flags everywhere hanging from the street lamps, and it's really publicised as a citywide event. And I believe that the HKTB should be doing a lot more. I think the government is dragging its heels so much on the West Kowloon space. You know, that's just like, oh, that old story again, even though we keep seeing stories about it, nothing actually happens. And that's because of the various conflicts of interest of how that space should be best used. So I believe you are right, everything you say is right, but I believe that the responsibility starts with the people who actually should be thinking of the best for the city. And I think that that's where the problem lies, because the private sector, there's no art walks organised or underwritten by the tourism board, nothing. Mm. And yet there's a huge, huge interest in art walks and things like that. But how can people survive if they're paying 150,000 for a shopfront on Hollywood Road and sell one painting a month? I mean, they simply can't do that. Exactly. So that to me is where the problem lies, and that's what I would ask for the government to support.
Yes, that's very
more.
Good, because I think they should do something, because I'm sure there are lots of, you know, budding artists that could, you know, really enhance the city. And as you say, it's advertisement to give art a high profile with more space to expose their work, and perhaps bigger halls for special exhibitions and maybe competitions to make it more exciting, and sponsorships for, you know, really good scholars to have travelling scholarships or... and then bring back a lot of new ideas and to make it more exciting altogether. And I'm sure it will flourish if the government and, you know, people that can sponsor can, you know, make it more important. And hopefully it will, yes, I hope that it will flourish and not be at the bottom of the list. So... I don't know whether anyone else would like to say something.
There's a question.
Thank you very much for your talk. Following the thrust of your argument and what this lady has said about the onus on the government, I'm just very interested to know, is there anyone here from the government, from the Culture and Leisure Department? Is there anyone from the Education Department?
Doesn't seem to be.
The problem, alas. Oh. You know, if there was, it would be... it could be very productive, yeah, this talk. I mean, I just have a quick comment about the literary arts, because I write fiction for children, and there is the best-known world magazine called Publishers Weekly that recently published a survey on children's fiction in Asia. Hong Kong did not have an entry. You know,
really?
Even Thailand had.
Oh.
Hong Kong did not have an entry. I've just come back from the London Book Fair, where Singapore had the most marvellous stand. They'd invited 10 publishers, 10 writers. They were organising readings and talks. They were going into schools. Hong Kong, no, just a couple of printers. So how I see it is I really hope that I agree with everything you've said, and I really enjoyed your talk, but I really hope that someone in the government will take up your initiatives.
I hope so.
And really make these things happen.
Every sort of arts, you know, literary... I think performing arts is doing well, isn't it? But I think visual arts is harder to connect. People can all appreciate music, but it's harder for visual arts, I think. But I think, like, also literature, you know, your books, perhaps people are always looking at their iPads all the time. They don't, you know, I see everyone, you know, without reading, which I think is important. Books are wonderful things, and we shouldn't lose that either. Yes.
Tara, do you have a question?
Just following up on the point of the government not being here, despite flyers from the FCC being sort of widely distributed, in terms of getting people excited and involved, does it take a mentor or one example of real success to get a community moving? Or what are some of the ways in which the government will start to pay attention, or you can get people to change their views about what arts can bring to a city?
Perhaps there should be, you know, people like the FCC, brilliant reporters, to perhaps write a bit about the importance of art in Hong Kong. I don't mean sort of having a strike or having a what, but to make it them aware that it could enhance their city. People would think, wow, Hong Kong is unique, it's got this wonderful art where East and West meet, and it will go down in history, you know, centuries. Ah, Hong Kong, you know, being the gateway to China with a fantastic Chinese tradition of painting, wonderful European, worldwide influence. It's a unique place to be great in art. So if you sort of push it up and say, you know, why don't we do it and get it to flourish rather than worry about the decline or survival, people might think, oh, maybe, you know, it could be great to have something unique.
I mean, it's not as if Hong Kong hasn't got any great and successful artists, but I mean, I suppose it's inevitable that, especially in recent years, that they're a bit overshadowed, marginalized by the attention paid to mainland Chinese contemporary artists. I mean, with the big auctions, and you would never see a Hong Kong artist featured among the highlights of their contemporary Asian art sales, right? Hong Kong is unfortunately a very small place compared to the mainland.
But they have the opportunity of having the two cultures, you know, the old European culture and all the Chinese culture. It's like a pearl.
lady over there, please.
Hi, Wendy, and thanks very much for your very inspiring thoughts. I had a couple of thoughts and then also some questions, if I may.
Yes, please.
I am the proud owner, if one can be an owner, of three boys, all of whom are relatively artistically inclined, as was I when I was young, before it was hammered out of me and I became a lawyer, and so on and so forth. And I think there is a responsibility of parents in this mainframe in relation to art appreciation. It's quite a significant responsibility to, for example, go up to Sha Tin last weekend or Taipo or wherever it was, I can't remember now, to go and look at the Fabergé eggs or to see the Andy Warhol exhibition. There is stuff here to be seen. We do benefit from quite an extensive list of wandering exhibitions. But that's consistent with what other countries or cities do. Where I think we can differentiate ourselves and really fill the gap of our unique East-West position is developing ideas and, I suppose, processes around patronage in the traditional sense.
Mm.
So, for example, to have the government's artist in residence or artists in residence, and having those people housed within government, so it's regarded as a fundamental part of something the government thinks is important. We could also have patronage at a personal level. Instead of having a Hong Kong art museum or show opportunities, which are quite a distance from where most of the Hong Kong population within the main conurbation lives, it should be closer. It could
yes.
be made more mobile.
Yeah.
So I guess my point is we do have this unique East-West position, as does Macau. If you look at artists like Konstantin Beshmatny from the Macau base, what he's been producing is just breathtaking. It's classic and it's modern and it's quirky. So I think we have a lot that can be done, but I think that the approach to doing it needs to focus on not copying what others are doing, but actually enhancing
yes,
and bringing
that's
to
right.
the table what we're very, very good at. So. But final comment. What I would suggest is that we actually look at this from if you can't go to Paris, then maybe someone from here could sponsor an exchange with someone in Paris and the various top academy around the world. So you have these exchange programs. We maintain and actually cultivate that East-West influence because I think that's what we are good at. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, I do agree because I was just thinking also that one could have visiting professors or artists and exchange like artists in residence for an exchange so that they can bring back and, you know, be sponsored and have people coming rather than everyone going, but, you know, to make it more lively and in touch. Because I think on the whole, I'm not criticizing Chinese artists, but they have fantastic technique, but they have the tradition of, you know, revering the old master, and, you know, that you need to well revere them to the extent that they can't be brave to do their own thing with the influence of Chinese art and taken some European art and develop their own style, which every person has their own style. And I think in that way, it would be good to have more exposure from East, West, and all over the world. And as you say, I think the government should be aware that it could make Hong Kong such a special, unique place to be able to do that. And it will flourish because everyone would say, wow, Hong Kong isn't just a financial mega place, it's a fantastic artistic center in the whole world. Yes.
Hi, my name is Edith Terry. Thank you so much for your comments. I just have one observation, which is that in Hong Kong, with the laissez-faire philosophy, the long history of being a free market economy, I think it's very difficult to argue that the government should subsidize the arts. It's almost a non-starter here. But another way to look at it is to get the government stop standing in the way of
right,
the arts.
Yes.
So two examples that I have found just shocking is that, one, in order to use any public space, any government space to mount an exhibition, an artist has to be sponsored by an NGO. Now, there are a limited number of NGOs in this city, but it introduces bureaucracy that's just silly. Mm. And then secondly, several times, but most recently, I think in about 2008, private money has gotten together to try to create major public spaces in Hong Kong. Mm. Private money got together and offered to buy and fund an art center at the old Hong Kong police headquarters on Hollywood Road. The government looked at it, sat on it, did nothing. Eventually, the offer died. But if you do have money here, if you're a corporation or a wealthy individual, I suspect the bureaucracy is so great that you simply cannot. It's easier to go fund a wing of the British Museum with your collection or your endowment than it is to do anything here.
So does it mean that these very top financial companies, are they able to set up something for artists? That's what my question is.
Let me try to answer. A few years ago, as part of its lobbying campaign for a previous version of West Kowloon, Henderson Land set up a big public space for artists and held sort of, I think it was two auctions or two sales that were open to, on a competition basis, to all Hong Kong artists. But it was, you know, a straight publicity and lobbying effort. And it did not, you know, it was sort of one off or two off. So the answer is yes, they could do something, particularly the developers, with their
yes.
own property. But no one sees the value of it. And there's no, when you have an independent gesture like this effort to, you know, to fund the establishment of a public space at the police yep. headquarters, it goes nowhere.
Oh, so that's a great shame, isn't it? I mean, people do try and realize how important it is, and it's not taken up. I don't know, perhaps should have more in the basic education, the curriculum, and then they might see how important it is to have art, and more people in the public would feel that they have a much broader education and it would enhance other professions, and they would start thinking, oh, well, it would be nice to buy some original art. And then it would support the artists, like in Holland, they do a lot for like buying originals, because artists, the way they just die out is they just haven't got the food to eat. They're very poor. They need help from, you know, other profession to make it flourish, like commissions. And, well, in the Renaissance time, you know, it was all probably the Pope and all the, you know, whatever. Sponsorship is necessary all round. And I think if people see more of original art, they would see the difference from a print to original art. There's something that speaks out. And perhaps more people would think that it's necessary in their life to have things around that are sort of more special, that perhaps they need it for feeding the mind, stimulate and have creativity. And life isn't just sort of money or possessions, it's something more personal or stimulating anyway.
Well, I think we should definitely send the video link to this talk to officials and ask them to come with their reply. The gentleman over there, I think you have a question.
Thank you. Actually, Elizabeth talked to this point. My name is Ted Lippman. I'm with the Robert H. Inhofe Family Foundation, founded by your cousin.
All right.
And I think following Elizabeth's point, Hong Kong is successful because of what government doesn't do, not because of what government does do. And that's the way it is. But I think that also provides an opportunity for Hong Kong. For example, the fact that Uli Sig's collection of contemporary art was given to M Plus in West Kowloon, not to a mainland museum, I think shows that there are people who recognize Hong Kong as being an open, free place and a nexus between East and West in a cultural sense. We're involved in a lot of, and this may be quite surprising to some, we're involved in a lot of children's programs here. We've recently started to take some of the same programs into the mainland. And the response of the mainland kids is far more active, and I would say in a positive way, even confrontational, than here in Hong Kong, where the kids kind of sit there like bumps on a log. So that may also speak to another issue, and that is the educational system, but what underlies that, which is a mentality which doesn't encourage confrontation. And I say that in a positive way. The history of Chinese, successful Chinese art and art generally, is heterodoxy. And that's not something that's particularly encouraged here. In China, it's so big that some of that is always going to get through. So in the order of magnitude, China will always have a lot of artists. But the fact that their sales, their business, is often conducted here in Hong Kong, I think speaks to opportunities that Hong Kong has in the field of culture, which may not relate to its own artists, but being a nexus for art may relate. It may become a 21st century Dunhuang. You know, what was done at Dunhuang was not done by locals. It was done by others, but it was done at Dunhuang for a good reason.
That's nice to hear about the art coming here and, you know, being in China. And it would be good if we could do the same to China with the Hong Kong artists going there.
I mean, that's always been a question, isn't it, about Hong Kong's development as a major sort of art hub, because unlike London and like New York, we haven't got our own, you know, big domestic sort of body of artists. But then a lot of artists active in London and New York, they weren't originally from those cities. So maybe Hong Kong should set itself up as a place for artists from around the world
to create.
Because Hong Kong, after all, is one of very few Asian cities with
a lot of
freedom of expression and freedom of speech.
That's right.
Tara Joseph with Reuters, and I usually ask questions instead of make statements, but following up on that idea of this being a center for other people to bring art, whether they're part of our culture or not, are we not failing as citizens and parents if we don't have a generation that grows up here with a sense of art and creativity and everything it brings, if we just depend on outside business? As we heard before, as parents or people who belong to a city, we should want to develop that in our community and culture. So wouldn't that be a failure if we left that for everyone to bring here and then just made money on it?
Well, yes, I think that the Hong Kong people themselves should change a little bit in their curriculum and to encourage more, you know, inspiration in, like, parents, not just thinking of doctor, lawyer, architect, but the arts as well, that it's a good thing to do, and that in order for it to survive, what must make it into a situation where artists can actually live off their art, which many people don't. But if people, you know, like, have commissions and they have space to exhibit their work or even to teach art and to make it flourish, would be great, to just make it more, that people should be more aware how important art is to human beings, really. Because they think, oh, well, you know, it's not a good line, you know, they don't make any money, they can't live off it. So, you know, you must be a lawyer, doctor, or something with a real profession. But they don't realize that art can be also a good profession in itself.
We have time for one more question. So, lady over here.
Thank you, Wendy. And also, thanks for the art that you bring along. And it's a very inspiring talk. Just follow along the line of Tara's comment. I also have a comment to make. Hong Kong is actually quite an art hub now. Internationally, it's the third largest auction market after London and New York. And thanks to, the rise of the Chinese ultra wealthy and the affluent middle class and the interest of art from the Chinese market, and also the what we mentioned about the laissez-faire of the Hong Kong government, Hong Kong's low tax regime, and also the there's no import duties and all that, making Hong Kong possible for the development of the art market here. But along the line, well, I don't want to turn this into a government bashing session, but just thinking about what the Hong Kong government can do, or anybody actually can do, when Hong Kong is more like an entreport for art, that the international collectors come here, the auctioneers come to here, and then there's just art transaction in and out. What can the government or anybody here to do to make some of the funding can actually stay here and then benefit the local artist? Whereas, you know, if we compare to China, whereas quite a few major galleries left China because of the taxes can be as high as 30%, and in some cases I've heard it's close to 70%. Whereas Hong Kong, can we sort of impose something, just a little bit, to in order to benefit the local artists? Say, if, I don't know, a gallery is coming here, they have to make certain commitment to cultivate local artistic talent or help certain artistic groups or local artists here. It's something, maybe in the long run, it sounds very difficult to do, but maybe with the push of the government or somebody pushing the envelope a bit, maybe we can achieve that.
Mm. Good, thank you.
Okay, one last question, and then we have to wrap up, unfortunately.
I'm Sabrina, incidentally a cousin of Wendy's. I just have a short comment to make. A lot of this, forget about the top-level government involvement. I think it's very important to change the grassroots reaction from parents' level. There's a proliferation of music schools, privately run, you know, as a commercial business for children, because a lot of Hong Kong parents think all the children should learn a musical instrument or learn to sing or learn to dance. So there's a whole lot of that, but not many parents would put emphasis on art. And it's all supply and demand. If more parents want some art education for the children, then there will be a market for artists. And there will be a market for them, not just as a producing artist, but somebody who wants to teach as well. And you can change it. I believe that you can change it at this grassroots, provided that the parents alter the mentality that, you know, is any extracurricular activity in Hong Kong is just music-based. No, it can be art-based too.
Mm. Yes.
Thank you very much, everyone, and thank you, Wendy, for joining us today. See you all at our future event, I hope.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, I forgot to add that Wendy's catalogues are near the exit there, as well as some samples of her works. Do take a look.